beginnings of your Federal Reserve was part of that secret.
Well, were they using a medium?
No, they were using the power of the law of attraction through the Emerald Tablet. One.
They had one.
One, or some variation thereof.
Yeah.
It wasn't trickery, it was just a process, and it just was. It is. I mean, it's pretty well established.
Can you name the families or people that started the Federal Reserve? They had the famous meeting on Jekyll Island. Is that the actual history of how it was set up?
Yes.
So who were the people there at the meeting?
It wasn't families. It was Charles Wilson, John Bowling, the Drews. There was a couple of the Drews, the Ackermans. It was the, now it's not the China people, but it's Pfalzgraf. It's not the Pfalzgraf that makes China, it's the different.
Oh, you mean the China ceramics, not that.
Not them, yeah. But the Pfalzgraf. And then if you have your captain of the day, because they had this issue, you see.
Wait, the cabinet, you mean in the presidential suite?
Yes.
So the Rockefellers weren't part of it?
No.
Because they say the Federal Reserve, in the internet blogosphere world, they say it's the Schiffs, the Warburgs, the Rothschilds, and the Rockefellers, and maybe a couple other names. And you're saying none of those were involved.
No, they all benefited from it, but this is what also brought in the income tax. Well, that's what did them all in, Bob. That took care of the Morgans, that took care of the Vanderbilts, that took care of the Carnegies. The income tax did them in.
Did them in?
It absolutely did.
So the Federal Reserve team, we'll call them the Drews et al., they set this up to do in the Morgans?
No, now we're not talking about that. Okay, then let's turn this back around here. If it was the Rothschilds and the Morgans and the Vanderbilts and all those different ones, these empirical families that started the Federal Reserve, where's all their wealth now?
Well, I assume they still have their wealth.
Well, they don't.
Because they got taxed out of existence.
Exactly. They had to give away Mount Pisgah, which was 90,000. Edith Vanderbilt had to give it as a donation because the income tax on 90,000 acres adjoining the Biltmore estate would have wiped them out. Gloria Vanderbilt, but it was in this century, had to sue the Cecils because he inherited the Vanderbilt estate that it is, had to sue them to try to get up some money because she was the granddaughter of Cornelius and George Vanderbilt and didn't get a flipping penny.
Is she transitioned?
No.
She's still alive, right. Because her son is a major CNN guy, Cooper. That's her son, Gloria Vanderbilt's son. Did the Drews and them set up the income tax? Did they get nailed by the tax? The people set up the Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve didn't set up the tax. The Federal Reserve offered to be the clearinghouse to handle the transition from the gold standard into the backed-by-nothing standard.
So who did the income tax? Who brought that in?
That was brought in by amendment. They had all this representation, and they had to grow this government so that they wouldn't have to have these issues and problems within and without society. So they had to build a war chest. Well, that war chest had to come from taxation with representation. But then the representation sort of goes out the window very quickly. And that's what sets your politician dance that, you know, you spend $150 million to get a job that pays $600,000 a year and doesn't have that many benefits.
So the income tax came in before the Americans got into World War I. So it was a preparation for that.
It was a way to fund this big government, you see.
And who was interested in having big government?
All the politicians.
So that's almost like the common man took over from the wealthy barons of the 19th century and the kings and queens.
It's like your caste system in Europe. You've got the Whigs and then the Labor Party and then you've got the HRH folks.
So the politicians, in the long run, caused a problem for Morgan and them, but the Drews of the Federal Reserve, were they off to the side and not affected?
Right.
So those names are not known.
Well, dig a little, it'll show up. See, that's the perfect take, you see. They didn't talk about how big their genitalia was, so now nobody cares. Even your history sometimes may or may not omit it, so much so to the point that they basically committed the crime and got away with it. They weren't even indicted. And yet the other innocents that created most of the wealth for this infrastructure that America just dances in the past and the deliciousness of, they don't even have enough money to get along, Bob.
So who has a lot of money now? Unknown families, unknown people?
Even Forbes doesn't get their list right.
Does someone make sure that that list is erroneous?
You better believe it. It's almost like you have to apply. They want to be that because they want to be high in the pecking order. Well, why would you want to expose yourself? Why would you want to say, oh, look what a marvelous creator I am and all that I've created? Oh, yeah, here's a great big target. I'll wear this target so you can shoot at my ass. You know, why can't you just be happy and not worry about it?
So the people who have a lot of money in America are not that well known. They're smart about it.
That certainly would be a much more delightful way to pick your contrast rather than cramming it down somebody's throat. Okay. What a fat cat you are.
So the known people, the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, they're pretty empty pockets now.
Well, they have been for a while. We haven't seen anything out of those cats for some time.
Ion talked about the trillionaires in the Curtis Davis show. Was there a purpose to talk about the trillionaires through that audience?
Well, the only reason that we were talking about it is if everything is as bad as it is, how is it that there are people walking on the planet who already have more money than his? How do you have more money than his?
And you were pointing that out. No one usually hears of trillionaires. They think of Gates and the billionaires. So you were just pointing out, hey, there's a whole level that you don't hear about.
And yet you got the sheiks over in Dubai spending trillions to build islands in the ocean. They could almost buy, they could buy Ireland. It'd be cheaper.
So some of the trillionaires are over there.
We don't know if they're trillionaires, but they're spending trillions. They're building the world.
And we're not doing anything here. I don't know if Americans are saying, boy, we're in trouble. No, it's all over. It's all over. And that's what must be shocking. I don't think Americans believe that they've lost their country, lost everything.
Well,
they think it'll come back.
The better question is where do they think it went? 9 years ago, everything was rocking and rolling and couldn't be better. Well, where did it all go? Did it leave? Did it evaporate? Did it disappear? Did it sour? Did the bread mold so they had to throw it away?
Well, it seems Americans say, we got greedy and we did this mortgage.
Okay, if we got greedy, then somebody should have all the money. Well, if we did, then we could take care of it. And yet, we can't seem to. So the anomaly, the conundrum is, if what you're saying is the case, and we're not fussing, we're not pushing against now, we're being clear, we're just asking, we're just non-physical trying to understand this dynamic of creation because we don't get it. We don't get it. We don't understand. How can it be as good as it was, could not be better, and go from that instantaneously into worse than the Great Depression?
And then have a couple of wars go along with it.
Do you understand now? You want a little, you always like a little of the prophetic in this twist. Bob, they'll soon come in the very short number of days that the judicial branch will no longer hold trials prosecuting and persecuting individual citizenry because they'll not have the funds to pay the judges and the officers and the blah, blah, blah to maintain it.
That's all across the country?
Yeah, all across the country. The municipalities are drying up.
I think people think 911, when we were attacked, that put us on a defensive foothold, so we had to put money into defending ourselves. That is part of the reason why it disappeared in the public consciousness.
But even that money that was done, it didn't go away. It didn't go away. Wait a minute. You go to war. War is good, Bob. War helps economies. Because now they stop the foolishness, and then instead of making foolish things, American people get paid to make uniforms for the military. So that money that's being blown on the war is going to Lockheed, Boeing. It's going to the contractors that are making the weapons and the bombs and the shoes and the Hershey bar rations and all the stuff that goes along with that. That money doesn't go away. It still is.
So if there is no money, that means that we're not allowed as Americans to have money. Something has stopped us from declaring access to money.
Correct.
Someone else has the money.
But it's all here. That's the point, is it's all here. But now your government has set it up, your Federal Reserve has set it up, so money has no value. Money has no value.
The group that set up the Federal Reserve in 1913, about, did they foresee how the Federal Reserve would, by the 30s, be in charge of fake money?
No, it wasn't like that then. They were issuing gold and silver certificates then.
Did any of those people involved, the Drews and all, complain about the direction the Federal Reserve later took, whenever that was?
Certainly, certainly. And when the Board of Governors, that had then to be a self-regulating board, once it became into the place where it turned into just notes, they weren't even printing money, Bob. That's still the Office of the Treasury. So they were just the clearinghouse that handled the bookkeeping.
Well, when did they get into printing notes? They never did, or
they still don't. Now you have a Federal Reserve, which is just the accountant. It'd be like the accountant saying, well, the different businesses aren't doing so good, so we're going to infuse $100 million of capital into the bank. And when your accountant says, well, Bob, you've had a pretty tough year, and you've really started consuming a lot of Snicker bars, we're going to give you $50 million so you can sort of keep things going here. When your accountant starts handing you damn money, somebody better get away.
That happened.
Even your TV body and your chip body announced it.
You're talking about the last couple of years, or
yes.
20 years ago, that wasn't a situation, was it?
It was impossible. It was unheard of.
That's another expression of, well, just keep typing, people. When no one questioned it, that meant that we were in trouble by 2000 and probably by 1990.
Well, if the Federal Reserve had a couple of extra $100 billion, how did they get it? Where do they make money? Where does the Federal Reserve make money? What is their job? What do they get paid to do? Now you have this separate corporation run by these governors who make money, and all they are is the accountants, the bank counters.
It seems that it's agreed among the news agencies to not question that, because those in the news agencies or the editorial control know that we aren't a country anymore. We don't have any money.
Wow. It's just as true to say that iron bars do not imprison make. So it's all the individual human creators, that's all. Don't you find it interesting now that for the first time you have, and we played desperately with that 420 business for James, that now everybody can, in California, you're in trouble, but it's okay because you can just get high. Well, great. Congratulations. We brought that up for a specific point, because that's the very thing of a scheduled narcotic that was not going to be allowed. Well, now all of a sudden, it's everywhere.
Because those that think they're in charge want the people to be stoned so they won't notice what's going on.
No, they couldn't control it.
Because they have no control.
Right.
We can go back to 1938. JW's mentioned that date.
Well, before you do that, the same way that Prohibition didn't work. It made more alcoholics than ever, ever, ever. And we have no problem with alcoholics. We love them. They're the ones that you want to drive the car. They never get killed. It's the sober ones that end up transitioning. The drunk ones never die. But the point is that Prohibition didn't work either, because you set it up and push it again. We say if you forced everybody to have to engage in marijuana, then everybody would say, it's not that big a deal. No thanks.
I see by 2000, America was out. St. Germain said, give my money back or pay my debts, whatever his expression
mm-hmm.
is. At that point, 2000, everything was over. And
well, that was the mascara, but yes.
There probably was a weakness in the Federal Reserve system in 1990, or is that going too far
absolutely
back?
Absolutely, no.
But it didn't serve us till 2000, and then we never recovered from the statement of that.
We never uncovered the problem either.
We never, meaning the Americans.
Right. Never recovered, but you also never uncovered.
Never figured it out. America's had no money for 10 years almost.
Right. But so that they changed the color of the money and gathered up the notes that were good, that were backed by treasuries. So now that what they're printing is not even backed by treasuries. Look it up and see what the last treasury auction was. It'll astound you.
When did they change the money? About 5 years ago?
The last great erection of Mr. Snow, your treasurer, changed the $10 bill. That was the last one to go, and that sealed it then. Because now you basically made it Monopoly money. Remember, Monopoly had different colored money?
Yes.
Well, that's what you got. It's Monopoly money. And now guess what's happening? They're taking U.S. $1 bills with $1 paper, the right paper, with the inks, because they've mastered those, with the threads and with all the security things. And they're taking $1 bills and turning them into $20 bills and $100 bills, beating them at their own game. And this money, this counterfeit money, boy, you want to have something, start passing counterfeit money. The Secret Service, boy, them Pinkertons will be on your doorsteps immediately. But guess where the money's coming from? From the banks.
But you're saying the $1 is being made into $20 by inflation?
No. People are bleaching out the ink and reprinting them as 20s.
Oh, you mean counterfeiters are?
Yeah. That they're so bad or so good that most of the counterfeit money is traced back to the banks.
So the counterfeiters are doing it. They're making money because there's no other way to make money.
Well, that's a genuine way to say I made money.
By counterfeiting.
Well, creating. They'll say I'm not counterfeiting. Your systems are foolproof. So if that's the case, then take care of it. I mean, Georgia's been flooded with it lately.
In normal bank circulation, it is counterfeit money. And is it complained about?
Absolutely. It's been on the TV body just all over the place.
And you're suggesting the banks are making the counterfeit money?
No, we are not. But we're saying where the money's being transferred through, the banks can't even tell what's counterfeit or not.
So it's pretty good counterfeit money.
Well, no, it's that they're sloppy with it. Now we're going to give you a little reference here.
Yeah.
Used to, how this all worked when you're trained in that field or that world, what happens is that you always had to turn the heads the same way. You know, like being neurotic about making it straight? Well, now anymore, they just throw it in the box. They don't straighten it. That doesn't matter. Well, that'll tell you something right there. They don't see the value of that, of keeping it organized to know what you're doing. So if it's all turned every which way, your eye could just as easily give a 50 for a 5. But if the heads are different, or, you know, if the heads are always the same, it would stick out like a sore thumb as you're peeling off and holding money.
You're talking about the head of the leader on the dollar bill, whatever.
Yeah. So it would all be turned the same way. So then if something's off, it would be noticed immediately. Well, they don't even do that anymore. So now the counterfeits, then their machines, their ATM machines that give it out and take it up, they scan it, and if it meets the criteria, then they accept it. Well, then the next thing you know, it goes through their processing, and then they're just passing it out. They're taking it in and passing it out. They're not looking at it. They're just counting it in and counting it out.
Is that slackness because there is very little paper money around?
No, it's because there's no value in it.
And people know that.
Well, the bankers seem to, because they're not too excited about it.
Wait,
you missed the biggest point. The point is that they counterfeit it to such a degree, they'll nullify all of it and say, money's no good, it's too easy to counterfeit, we're not going to have money anymore. It's only typing is all we're going to accept from here on.
So that's part of moving into a new currency. In other words, let it flow. Let the money...
Who cares? Make it be worth anything, and then the new currency, the one and the zero body, can take care of it, and that's not counterfeitable.
And that's coming. That solution.
It's actually kind of here. They call it an ACH transfer.
Where's the problem in that?
Consistent undermining of the present Politburo. And if you are someone who has great big sacks full of money, It would be like having a lot of Confederate money. It won't buy much.